Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 672. It's the 28th of December 2016. On the podcast today, I have Dr. Clifford Gross, chairman of Tech Capital, TEK, talks about their outlicense of high-efficiency air conditioning patents and strategic alliance with WeCast Technology Group. I also have Doc Holliday, small cap commentator, talking about the following stocks: and Nostra Terra, EVR Holdings, Angus Energy, Prospect Oil and Gas, and IG Group. I also have the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. And it's a bit of a light day for news, RNS-wise, but I do cover the top two most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets website today.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Dr. Clifford Gross, chairman of Tech Capital. The ticker there is TEK. Cliff, thanks for joining me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. How are you, Justin?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, glad to be getting back into it. You know, the markets are back open, which I like. I love the markets. And like we just said before I hit the record here, that I have a job I love doing. So when most people, you know, enjoy a holiday away from their work, I miss it. You know, I genuinely miss it.
Well, that's that good Calvinist spirit.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, you've had a bit of news out. You've obviously been busy over the Christmas period, and we'll get to the news in a bit. But as always, what I like to do is remind people of what you do. What do you do, Cliff, at Tech Capital? What's it all about?
Tech Capital is an international provider of intellectual property services, and we're focused on creating a marketplace value from university intellectual properties. So we offer a number of services to both corporate and university clients, and we also source technologies for our clients as well as for our own portfolio. So our goal is to, you know, really create value from the discoveries that are produced by major universities throughout the world.
Yeah, and is it something like 4,000 plus universities?
Yeah, it's about 4,500 research institutions. Most of them are universities. Some of them are, you know, federally funded research institutions.
Yeah, across 160 countries there. So you've got a huge base to draw from. Okay, so the news out today. Can you take us through what it's all about, please, Cliff?
Sure. It's actually two bits of news. One is the execution of an out-license agreement for our air conditioning portfolio. So we acquired about a year ago from the University of Central Florida a portfolio of 9 patents. And the focus of these patents is to make central air conditioning units more energy efficient through the improved design of the condenser fan using aeronautical design principles. And this portfolio of patents has actually been converted into prototypes, and they've been tested at the Florida Solar Energy Center, which is run by the University of Central Florida. And they produce these new fan blades produce roughly a 25% savings on energy consumption for the condenser motors. So it's quite significant, and we think it's a very clever design, and we were happy to acquire the rights to this portfolio. And so we announced today that we've licensed exclusively those rights to the WeCast Technology Group. And the portfolio is interesting because it's an inexpensive way to improve the energy efficiency of central air conditioning systems.
Okay, and looking at this now, I mean, so what's the terms of the out-license agreement, and also we'll follow on the potential here. So what are the terms here for yourself?
The terms are, it's a $100,000 upfront payment and a 5% royalty on any future revenues that they're able to generate using this technology. And then after the first year, starting the second year, there's a $100,000 yearly minimum.
Wow. And a 25% saving on air conditioning, you know, usage, that's a heck of a lot, especially if you're a big company, you know, and you are in a sort of a hot environment, a warm country. That's going to cut down a lot, isn't it? But what is it? I mean, do you have any figures around the potential for you here?
Well, these are estimates, of course, but in the United States, there's roughly 4.5 million new central air conditioning units sold each year. So if you were to assume, let's say, that 10% of these systems would incorporate this new condenser fan design, that would be roughly 450,000 air conditioning systems per year. And the condenser fans, they vary in price, but the retail price is roughly $50 per fan. The wholesale price is roughly half that, say $25 per fan, which would be the basis for our royalty calculation. So at a 5% royalty on the $25 wholesale price, that would be about $1.25 per fan blade. So if they're able to achieve a 10% market penetration, that would be about $560,000 a year. And as there are, it's a little more than 7 years of life on the IP portfolio, so that would convert into about $3.9 million over the life of the IP. Now, a portion of that would go back to the university as per our normal agreement with these research institutions. But still, we reckon if that 10% level of market penetration were achieved, we would receive roughly $2.7 million as a result of this agreement.
Excellent. Well, do you know what? I was just going to say cool, then. That's quite relevant, I suppose, when you talk about air conditioning. but this is not the only thing you're doing with WECAS, is it? This agreement, several parts to it. Is that the case?
Yeah. In addition, we signed a separate agreement with the WECAS Technology Group to transfer to them on an exclusive basis university intellectual properties in a wide variety of areas for them to resell on their online exchanges. They operate a number of online exchanges for selling a number of different types of alternative assets, such as industrial chemicals. And so they are going to establish a category on their exchanges for selling intellectual property rights, and they wanted us to supply some of those rights to them. So we have an exclusive sort of supplier relationship with them for our intellectual property rights for the online exchanges. Additionally, they want to have the opportunity to seek to resell our IP services, which we're very happy about because they have a very large network of clients throughout China and the rest of the world. So it's an overarching 5-year agreement, and we're very optimistic about the potential of this agreement to expand the marketplace for university intellectual property.
And you say WECAS Technology, well, they're a subsidiary of Sun Seven Stars Entertainment and Media Group, which is quite a big company. Is that right?
Yes, they're a major conglomerate. They're a media technology and investment company run out of China. And they have private equity. They have many different lines of businesses, and their trading exchanges are just one of their many lines.
So you must be very pleased with this hookup, Cliff.
Yes, I think it bodes well. I'm very excited to be working with them. I think they're a very imaginative, capable group. And it brings us into a market that we're not into right now, not only being in Asia, but also with these online exchanges. So we're very enthusiastic about the potential of this relationship to expand over time. And, of course, time will tell, but we're very happy as well to have licensed to them our air conditioning portfolio technologies as an additional benefit of our relationship.
Yeah, exactly. And what are the things you're looking at the moment, Cliff, you're very excited about that we should be seeing some news out in the next quarter or so? What are you focusing on at the moment?
Well, our normal focus is on developing out licensing agreements with all of our intellectual properties. Of course, we won't do it with all of them, but we are seeking to do it with all of them. And we are negotiating with a number of companies for a number of our other properties, such as the Microsoft and the Crackle Bake technologies, which have previously been discussed. So that's moving apace, and we're continuing also to see good uptake of our intellectual property services, such as our invention evaluator reports and our technology sourcing services. So that's moving forward as well. And then last but certainly not least, is Belsquera, which is a company we established about a year ago, and we hired a management team and acquired a number of very interesting medical devices from Stryker. And that company has gone through two rounds of private financing. We've raised over $2 million for that company. And we're exploring the potential of listing that company in the first half of 2017.
Nice. So, yeah.
Very excited about that. Currently, Tech Capital owns 65% of Belsquera.
Yeah, and I was going to say, and you've got quite some well-known shareholders supporting there. I see the name of Nigel Ray popping up.
Yeah, he's an excellent gentleman, wonderful fellow, as well as a sagacious investor.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Cliff, well, every day on the podcast, I do highlight the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website. So can you give some, you know, if someone's listening right now and they're interested in what you're doing and they need, you know, a little bit more encouragement, can you give us three reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page, please?
Well, you know, what's really interesting about Tech Capital is we've rationalized the supply of university-developed discoveries, which means we built a network that links together to us intellectual properties that are developed at more than 4,500 research institutions around the world. So there is strength in numbers, and we have access to all of these new discoveries that are available for license or acquisition. And then we have, on top of that, we believe we have a very capable management team and science board to help us review these properties. We currently have about 47 members of the Science Advisory Board. So when you combine this sort of mechanical filter of knowledgeable scientists, many of whom have significant business experience, with the supply of university technologies writ large, you really have an idea factory at your disposal, and that's what's really powering our business. And from that, we have acquired what we believe to be a strong and compelling portfolio of intellectual properties. A portion of them have been transferred into Belsquera, which is good, and that has created separate value. And a portion of them we're seeking to out-license, as we have just announced with our first air conditioning deal. We are in negotiations with a number of other companies. So we think the future looks bright for creating real market value sales from these intellectual property rights that we've acquired. And I guess lastly, our goal is to grow our IP service business as well, because that provides ongoing revenue, recurring revenue in most cases, and it expands our footprint and expands our relationships with these universities and research institutions, which makes it more business-like for us to be able to rapidly acquire additional properties.
Marvellous. Well, Cliff, listen, it's you know, the first day back after Christmas, you're already releasing news, and so it seems like it's going to be a busy year for you, and so I look forward to chatting to you again in the not-too-distant future.
That's very kind of you, Justin. Yeah, it's been a working holiday, let's put it that way, but we're very excited about the new developments, and I wish you and your colleagues a happy and very successful 2017.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Wade.
And joining me on the podcast right now is small cap aficionado Doc Holliday. All right, Doc.
Hey, Justin, Merry Christmas to you all, and I hope you've enjoyed your festive few days off.
Yeah, I don't know if I did, really. I just think, you know, I don't feel too good after just eating and drinking. I mean, I know it's a stereotype, but I mean, I fitted that stereotype lovely. In fact, I burst out of that stereotype suit because I ate so much. But, yeah, I still feel uncomfortably bloated after, like, 3 days of eating rubbish, essentially. And the markets are open today, but it's got a feel of a market that isn't open. Even though some of the stocks I hold are doing quite well today, it just feels like it's not open properly, do you know?
Yeah, well, I don't think everybody's ready to get back to business. What you're going to find is across the city there'll be skeleton crews on shifts here. I wouldn't imagine that we're going to see a great deal of liquidity. There's obviously been a few movers in the market. Again, probably moving on lighter liquidity than normal.
Yeah.
And as you say, you know, it's often is the case that the market capitulate together. They find one of these or two of these little companies that have released some news or that seem to have a little bit more than average interest, and they they all sort of capitulate and move in the one direction. And I've seen this happen for year on year for about the last 6 years. So there's normally, on that 3 day period, you'll see one of these tiny little microcap companies go and do a stupid move. And then as soon as we go back to resuming normal business in the new year, it goes all the way back to where it started. Which company that will be remains to be seen at the moment. But yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's typical of this time of year. And can anybody really be that bothered?
Yes.
Will anybody listen to this podcast?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you know what? I over the Christmas period, I think some people are just bored with the break after a while, and they just try and look around for stuff to listen to, or watch or anything just to fill their time. But unless you've got kids, which they'll fill it for you. But I mean, looking at some of the stocks up today, I mean, Nostraterra's up because they've had an update, haven't they? Did you read that?
Yeah, I had a look at that. It's on Pine Mills again, isn't it? I mean, look, I think what the company is saying in their own way is that they'd sold down some production that they had at Chisholm Trail. They got what they believe was good money for it in comparison to other potential offerings that were out there. I think their original sale was 2.1 million, and then there was a revised amount additional to that of about 600,000. So in total, they've got rid of their assets at Chisholm Trail for $2.7 million, and it's now give them the cash and ability to go and do a deal on Pine Mills, which they believe is going to produce more and yield more in the future, but also present further opportunity. I mean, one of the last times you and I spoke, we spoke about this R&S where it was a tiny amount of production for such an insignificant amount of cash, and we sort of suggested back then, surely he's not going to have done this deal for nothing. And it led on to other things. And that was the sort of big sort of catalyst or, flag or whatever. That was the barometer moving, sort of being more suggestive that there was more to come. And if you actually go through the RNS that Nostraterra have put out today, whilst it's in depth and it talks about Pine Mills, it also talks about why the board believes that they're at the bottom of the cycle, why they believe they can strengthen their asset base, fundamentally because they were able to sell one lot of production and gain additional production for a lot less. And they think that those opportunities exist out there. They believe that they're in a position to hopefully try and claw back up into the sort of into the eyes of the market. And we're seeing that bit by bit. It seems to be, it's hard. It's the hard yards being put in. One of the things that I would say is, Nighthawk, Casa Oil and Gas, GKP, Excite Energy. When you think about companies that have existed as long as Nostra, I mean, whilst the performance has not been great to date, what you can't take away is there's a continuous level of work taking place there. And I think Matt genuinely is trying his best to get things back to best. And I've spoken to a couple of guys who was in the city the last time. I'm also aware of one or two that have taken, a decent chunk of stock and have been advising their own clients to do so as well. So that seems to be reflecting in the price. Still looks like there's a bit of a base being put in here at this sort of 2p level. It was where they did an original fundraise back, I think it was early summer or last year. They raised some cash at 2p, they consolidated at 4p. It did spike down at 1.25, 1.5, and I think at that point it was an obvious buy. But yeah, the company seems to be on good footings now. They're very suggestive in what they're saying in regard to the strategy moving forward. They believe that there are opportunities at this level and they intend to take them.
Yeah, one of the companies that released at the end of last week, which is doing very well, is EVRH. And I see it up again today, which I do hold stock here. And it seems like 4p is the new support level for these. And they signed a deal with, Warner Music, which is one of the big three. It's very impressive off the back of, an agreement with Telefonica in Germany, which is obviously the biggest mobile operator in Germany. So it looks like they are, talking to the right people, doesn't it,
Well, look, let me state my position for avoidance of doubt, as you stated yours. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a clue what this was about. I didn't buy any shares in the company, nor have I ever. And what a complete fool I've been, because, to be honest, I've never fully understood this whole VR thing. It was virtual reality was something they were trying to push out in the 90s. I remember going out to the States, to the Disney Worlds and the places like that, and they had all these type of things going then. It just didn't really take off. I wasn't too sure about it. There were loads of people that I know, including yourself, who were real advocates of what the company were doing at a penny, at 2p, 3p. Oh no, I wasn't paying any attention. I get to the Christmas period, I speak to my godfather, who'd had a big family do, and he'd uploaded some pictures on social media, and they're all there with the VR headsets on. I then went round to spend a bit of time with my mother. Yesterday, she'd gone to that party, and she was absolutely fascinated. Now, all right, she's an older lady, and you know, simple things sometimes are impressive to people who aren't, you know, aren't quite up with technology. But let me tell you, she was impressed no end, to the point where she was, it was some type of a virtual reality dive with sharks or something, and she was scared stiff, should we say, by the end of it. But it was that realistic, and what it do, what it is doing now for me is not only are you starting to see VR being heavily promoted within social media, lots of people are talking about it in the stock market. You've now got people who are at home using this kit, they're buying it. I know there's a vast range of what these headsets cost. I was told yesterday the one that she used was about 600 quid. No idea whether that's cheap or not, but she, you know, she thoroughly enjoyed it. My godfather had all the people at the party there, from, you know, young ones all the way up to sort of, you know, from 7 to 70, and they were all having a fantastic time of it. So the fact that in the market they're making all the right noise, it does appear that outside of the market they're making the right noise now, because you're seeing people using it and talking about it. And little old me, I didn't pick up on any of it. So I'm perhaps not the best person to ask about it, but most certainly I'm starting to really get a feel that people are warming to this VR thing, you know?
Yeah, well, I remember interviewing Anthony at the Momentous events, and I didn't hold stock at the time, but I just thought, I remember saying that it's one of the things you don't want to be, you know, left behind with, because it could be, you know, a real move, evolutionary move. I know back in the 90s, say early 90s, there were only a couple of players, but now everyone's doing it, and all the big guys are behind it, and it seems to be getting traction. And like I said, the hardware is, you can buy, you can get Google Cardboard is almost relatively free, and that's a little, you know, a little headset, but you can pay anything from that 20 quid in supermarkets up to like a grand or so, you know, in for the big kits. But I mean, it's accessible, and there's more content coming online. And like I said, EVRH, you know, seem to be the guys with the music content. So, and they're doing deals with majors. So it seems like they're in the right position, at, you know, at the right time when this is becoming a hot sector. So time, I think there's still you know, plenty of time to go here. I think, you know, we'll see this evolve, this industry, and become more accessible. But I think it's worth watching. Like I said a while back, I said, listen, let the dust settle here, because it's had a fast rise in the last few months. Let it settle. And do your own research, you know, because it's certainly in a hot sector. By the way, I don't know.
I'll tell you what. When you think about that, though, just you know, sort of before we move on, is you actually think about that product, and you know, we've seen all of these sort of people passing over during 2016. But you know, imagine if you're a big David Bowie fan, a George Michael fan, a Prince fan, whatever it is, and they'd managed to record one of those concerts and then put it onto a VR. I mean, you know, if you look at these people who you know, Elvis fans, they've been, or you know, what's his name, O'Donnell, the Irish guy, you know, these people are absolutely fanatics. You know, imagine if they could sit at home and watch these concerts. You know, I think that idea of being able to just do things like that, you know, bring that reality of life into the home. This is what I've been told this VR business is all about, and if they can really do it and replicate it to that sort of standard, then hats off to you guys. I mean, I think it has had a big rise. There's going to be a great deal of opportunity to take a bit of profit, protect your capital, whichever you prefer. But naturally, it seems to have legs, doesn't it?
Yeah, anyway, well, I mean, you're right. I mean, the fact that it brought this legs is the smartphone. You know, this wasn't available in the early 90s, and now everyone's got a smartphone pretty much, and so you can just get one of these headsets, you know, put it on there, it's done, and you're away to go. So, yeah. Anything else you're looking at? I don't know if we talked about Angus Energy, because you chatted to Paul, didn't you, Vonk, from Angus Energy? I don't know if you mentioned that. There was some rumours about them not having the correct planning permission, but you managed to ask him about that, and the result is it's all good. It's all good to go, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I'll tell you what, I was impressed, I'll be honest with you. I mean, you know, I remember when Angus Energy were looking to come to market earlier in the year, last year, and I was also aware when Angus Energy was selling down their stake at Horse Hill. Jonathan Tidswell was the sort of guy that was being spoken about a lot back then, and I just wasn't sure whether Tidswell had, you know, got his head in the right place, whether he just couldn't see eye to eye with the guys at Horse Hill, what had gone on there, you know. Couldn't quite understand actually what was going to happen with this company that were going to go into Brock, and what was the idea. There didn't seem to be a great deal of interest even in floating Angus Energy back then. And then, so, you know, suddenly they've sort of opened people's eyes to the value at Brockham, and the fact that they can go in now and they can start looking at additional data from the Kimbridge layers. Paul Vonk now is sort of front of house as managing director, and I had a chat with him. I've got to say, I was really impressed. I thought he had a good attitude. We chatted a lot about perhaps some of the speculation, anticipation, maybe overpromise in some respects when you look at the amount of attention that the guys had down at Horse Hill with companies like UCOG. And Paul, you know, it was a real sobering type conversation. He was very conscious that he didn't want to be rubbing people up the wrong way. He doesn't want to be rubbing up activists or people that protesters who are perhaps against what's going on some of these sites in the UK. He was very comprehensive that they're running and producing well, which has been producing since it was drilled in the 80s by BP. They weren't going to be doing additional exploration. They were going to be doing some work on their producing assets, which is going to give them a lot more data and information. But also, they're looking for efficiency. And you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. If you've got producing well and you can get more out of it by doing a little bit of work to that well, that they're fully permitted by the OGA to do, then so be it. I think it took away that unconventional room, you know, the fracking concerns. There's none of that. The permitting concerns, well, they're fully approved by the OGA, so there's no concerns on that front. Everything seems to be ticking along in the right direction. And like I say, I was really impressed with Paul Vonk and his attitude and outlook. I think he was very measured. There's a lot of people out there who'd be big opportunists, considering how well their IPO's gone, and considering that they've got, you know, a rig up and running on site at the moment. I think there's people out there who really, really could have started to push that boat out hard, but he's letting the operations do the talking. He'll come back and update in due course. And again, not a shareholder, perhaps yet another missed opportunity. Had I spoke to Mr. Vonk prior to the listing, I'd have probably participated myself. Really impressed with that guy. Liked him a lot.
Marvellous. And any other stocks you're looking at briefly, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, I noticed that Crispin Oldday has been reported in the Telegraph to be 1.2% short of IGG Group. It was a company I bought. It was catching the falling knife. I started buying it about five. 8.2 or 5.92, all the way down to about 4.60. I've got an average in there now, about 5.10. So just keep getting somewhere near the money now as we get into a fiver. And I see that Crispin's been announced in the Telegraph as being 1.2% short of the company. He believes that the plus 500 got a bit more stability in it. I just totally disagree. But maybe I'm wrong. But I think it... at £5, and given IGG Group or IG Group's business model against plus 500, I think there's a bigger argument that plus is going to be more unstable, you know, given some of the data announced from the regulators, which have obviously cautioned leverage trading to the degree it was taking place. I think there's a much bigger business with IG Group. Understandably, they perhaps have taken a big hit because some of these other operators were operating, a little bit more diverse globally, should we say. But I kind of figure when you start seeing things slapped out in the main tabloids, it's almost when the run's over. So yeah, all right, he's on the short tack. That's come out. It's a little bit like when people start putting in the Telegraph, you should start buying stocks. I mean, it's a big red flag. It's normally the time not to be buying the stocks. You're the retailer buying the wholesaler selling. So I kind of figure when you start seeing these things hitting the newspapers like that, it's just when things are about to turn. So we'll see. I remember GKP and Afren, they used to hit the newspapers at, £1.20 and £4 respectively. Look where they are today. So kind of figure that it's interesting nonetheless. I've admitted actually that I've not made the best of entries of it, not made the best of work of taking a position in IGG, but the shares have halved more or less in the last few months, and there's got to be a bit more life left in the tank yet. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I think there's a trade on there. Prospect have done quite well. Again, share price has gone up to 3.5p, back to sort of 2p. Everybody getting a little bit windy. Not too sure what's going on. Simple market mechanics. You buy at the beginning of the cycle. There's obviously some expectation and anticipation. Shares start to rally as we get closer to the news. Again, same as Angus. Once you start getting into your operation, the shares will come off. Why? People are starting to de-risk. They're protecting the positions. They don't want to take unnecessary risk going through a drill. And then we'll wait and see what happens. And I'm pretty sure if it's a successful one, you'll start seeing all the buying come back in, because it'll validate those that are holding, risk-free positions, or perhaps the real sort of who dares wins investors in the market who have took that position all the way through from a penny. If you get a decent hit on it, and it goes in the right direction, then it's gonna go up, a lot further than 2-3 quarters as it is today. Having said that, we've seen some of the results from the likes of Canadian Overseas Petroleum, so it is a caveat emptor moment right now. You've got to consider if you do buy, you're buying with the risk of that drill result. So we'll wait and see, but done quite well today, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right. Sometimes these papers highlight the stock when it's hot. And that's not a good time to buy, if you want to make some money. Like I said, you see, for example, EVRH getting a lot of press now. But it's gone from, in the last year, it's gone from under a penny to almost, 4.5, nearly 5 pence. And you're thinking,
the difference with EVRH getting a lot of press is that they've got this technology now that's being used. And not only are you seeing it in the press, but I don't know if other people are seeing what I've saw over this festive period, but I've saw loads of people, just normal, everyday people that are completely unrelated to the stock market, buying this technology, using this technology.
Yeah.
I've been absolutely amazed. I've not used it myself yet. I don't know if it's, if it's just overhyped dross or it's genuinely as earth-moving as people are suggesting.
Yeah.
Time will tell. But, I think there's a big difference between, the likes of EVRH and their technology and then the press that comes on the back of it. Because it's something that's being used on the ground every single day by people, and I think that's very different than perhaps a newspaper publishing something on a guy that made huge amounts of cash, by the way, going negative on the bank as those banks crashed. And one thing you can't take away from old day is he's done really, really well on that front. But geez, he's made some real slip ups as well over the last sort of 6 to 12 months. He's not had a great year. So hey, maybe IG Group's going to be the thing that really claws him back out. He's got about 15, 20 million pounds short position on IG Group. I've got about 20 grand long, so perhaps I'm going to look a bit silly on the end of it, but who knows? I think there's an opportunity at that level. Yeah, he thinks he should be going short. Let's wait and see.
Yeah. No, listen, I agree. I mean, EVRH is a huge potential there, but I was thinking when a stock is hot, it's almost that style, buying wholesale rather than retail, like you say. Anyway, Doc, marvellous stuff, and listen, we probably won't speak now until a new year, so have a happy new year, and speak next week, fella.
Cheers, mate. All the very best to you guys and all your listeners. For anybody who's tuning in on that festive period between Christmas and New Year.
Okay, here are the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. They are at 5, 88 Energy. At 4, AsianMet Resources. At 3, EVR Holdings. At 2, Ascent Resources. And number 1 most liked company in the last 24 hours has been Prospect Oil and Gas. That's PXOG. And like I said earlier, it's a bit of a light version of the podcast. There's not, the markets are open. It's got a sense of a feel about it that they aren't really open, though. You know what I mean? That zombie-like zone between Christmas and New Year, where everyone's walking around like a zombie. Anyway, here are our top two most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets website this morning. They were at number 2, Nostra Terra. That's their Pine Mills Reserves Report and Strategy Update. And the number 1 most liked RNS was from Tech Capital. I chatted to Cliff earlier on the podcast there. And it's about their out-license and strategic alliance with WeCast. So that's those two. There may be a podcast tomorrow. I don't know. If there's a company out there releasing news who want to chat, then I'm up for it. But stay tuned. In fact, the best way probably to find out if this podcast is rather than hang around Twitter or anything is probably either go to the Vox Markets site or just subscribe via iTunes or Audioboom, and that way you'll get notification if the podcast comes out. Anyway, that's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.